AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're just getting over the weekend's action and another busy day across Scottish Football League. Reconstruction is back on the table with SPFL clubs in talks to return to a 10-team top flight. Clubs in European qualifiers will be allowed to postpone one league fixture to help with their preparation next season, and more than 20 legal claims of historical abuse at Celtic Boys Club have now been settled. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy and Gordon Dale.
The sun is shining. The sun's shining. It was an action-packed weekend, Gordon. I made a brave prediction before 3 o'clock saying I didn't think we'd get a lot of goals. We ended up with 25. Goals flying in everywhere. Great results. Celtic comfortable, obviously. Aberdeen, a terrific win up at Pittodrie against Motherwell, who took an early lead. You look at the Sunday fixture, Dundee United beating Ross County as well. That seven goal thriller, Rangers, Dessers scoring the last kick of the ball. Had absolutely everything, and a Hibs team that are absolutely flying, and you've got to say something about St Mirren. 5-1 at home against Kilmarnock.
Yeah, no, there were some terrific performances, and again, you know, you have to pay tribute to somebody like Cyril Dessers, taking an awful lot of criticism, Gordon, over the last year or so, maybe even more. And yet, but that was his 100th appearance, his 45th goal. I mean, it's not a bad return, a fraction off a goal every two games. So like any striker, I think we'd be quite happy with that record. Unfortunately, people keep mentioning the ones he misses rather than the ones he scores. But as Gordon said, if you get a similar weekend this weekend with the amount of goals, the amount of action, and I think it was really positive. A lot of the teams who were chasing things, whether it's top six, whether it's trying to stay away from the relegation area, we're all going for it. And I think that's what everybody wants to see. And the championship as well, as I say, there's got, coming to that part as well, where those teams at the top are really trying to go over the line, see if they can get to that Premier League for next year.
Come on then, 0141-951-1025. That is the number you need, same number every night. It is up to you. What do you fancy discussing tonight? Get your calls in and let us know. Sometimes on a Tuesday we do still talk about the weekend's action. Maybe you didn't quite get your point in last night, or you're not over it yet. By all means, keep them coming. There are very few topics in Scottish football that get everyone going, get everyone debating more than league reconstruction. Sometimes it sends a shiver down the spine, but it's back on the table. And who would have thought? It feels like everybody out there wants a bigger league, and yet the SPFL are in talks to potentially go back to a 10-team top flight. Anybody out there having that? Because it feels like it's been met with quite a lot of surprise out there on social media and anyone I've spoken to today, but that's the beauty of it. We're here to hear all opinions. So would anyone go for a 10-team? Or are you all wanting to go bigger? Or does anyone like the status quo? We've obviously got a very exciting race for the split and so on at the moment. So maybe quite surprising news today, but a big story coming out. What do you make of it? League reconstruction, would you go for that or not? 0141-951-1025. Again, to be fair, another topic that people have been calling for years is the ability to maybe postpone fixtures or move fixtures to give clubs a bit of a hand if they want it in European qualifiers. Well, that will be brought in for next season. So is that good news ultimately? I'd imagine it's just an option. I guess some teams might even want to keep playing and get in the swing of things, but there we go. Give us your thoughts there. And like we said in the headlines, we'll give you the latest from a big day involving those historical claims of abuse at Celtic Boys Club as well. So a bit of a change in tone, obviously, from the usual madness that Gordon Dale and the pundits can bring on a Tuesday night. But yeah, a huge day, a big day across Scottish football in various ways. So get your calls in on 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. I like to think we're now in that time of year where people have got the feet up, maybe a, there's a few barbecues on.
Oh, 100%.
Having a wee lit, tuning in.
Yeah, I was a bit jealous, you know, you're going by the beer gardens or people sitting having a nice bit of lunch, a glass of wine or whatever their tipple is, Gordon, enjoying the sunshine. Mm. It brings everything out. The happiness is out there.
Sadly, it brings a few bellies out as well.
Exactly. Long
it taps off.
Long may it continue,
You've
Jim.
Been back on the golf course, have you, in light of the good weather?
Yeah, and back out to tomorrow morning as well. And then I'm up in St Andrews at the weekend. Oh. So I'm going to try and make the very, very best of it.
Do I know it's bothering me, though, more than just because we are all live streamed? How you've cut your head. It's doing my head, and look, I can't take my eyes off it.
I know.
Do you know what happened?
No, I went into the toilet there. I've noticed it. I've tried to pick it off.
Nice.
And I've made it worse, Jim.
Did you not get a wee bit of, you know, concealer or something like that, and you could have put it on?
That's the last thing this man needs.
Would normally have that in your.
Oh, I've got all my eye makeup and everything.
That's,
you know,
what I thought.
My
concealer and you'd be fine. But anyway,
look, nobody's looking at my head, are they? They're more interested in listening to Jim's opinion about the football at the weekend.
I was actually thinking about Jim Duffy last week, because I'm not saying that your analysis of football isn't outstanding, but one of my favourite things you said in the show recently was when you told us that you were driving Triple H about the wrestler. Mm. But the wrestling was back on in Glasgow last week. Tell me you had somebody star-studied.
No, well, John Cena was there, and
great story. He's told me a great story about this.
Obviously, did he tell you this in the office?
Yeah.
No, I was supposed to be doing John Cena, but I got a dizzy. So I ended up, unfortunately, didn't get him. I did have a boy Pat McAfee, who does the commentary and stuff like that, a really nice guy, coming off his private jet. But unfortunately, yeah, John Cena's changed his schedule a little bit.
So you didn't even have him in the car once.
Nope, I didn't have him at all. So as I said to you, unfortunately, you know, I can't pretend that I was with you know, the legend.
See, when you
John
meet
Cena.
The famous people, right? Do you tell them about your career?
No, I don't.
I would, Duff.
No, obviously, that's the difference between you two.
Oh, I'd be going mad. Do you know I was Player of the Year in Scotland?
Well,
Google that.
Championship.
I was. Not that I would say that, because somebody, you forget all these type of things, but it was actually 40 years ago. That just shows you how long ago. It was 1985. But, some people do mention, so for instance, one or two of the concierge guys at the hotel who know me and stuff like that and talk, they'll maybe say to whoever it is I'm driving, oh, by the way, he used to play football, he done that. But, I've got a different job, so you do the job. If somebody wants to talk, then fine. I'm certainly not going to be going and telling people, this is...
Oh,
this,
I think you get a bigger tip.
That's all you think about, really, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay, I don't know how we got distracted so quickly. 0141 951 1025, that is the number that you need. Loads of new and different topics around Scottish football today. As we said, sometimes Tuesday is a bit of a tidy up from the weekend's talking points as well. We've got one of those rare quiet midweeks, and then back into European action for Rangers next midweek. So give us all your thoughts, whatever it is. 0141 951 1025, or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. We said that this is the kind of, well, it's the business end of the season, isn't it? You're now looking, teams are getting nervous down the bottom. You can add various teams into that. Who's going to make the top six? We probably know what the title race is going to look like, but I'm excited about this next couple of weeks.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've seen that there's still, you know, was it three places or three teams can still vie for the top six, you know, and there's obviously one or two guaranteed at the weekend there, Aberdeen in particular. Hibs, you know, an unbelievable run under David Gray. You know, you just mentioned there, Gordon, I mean, and it's great that, you know, we're into April and we still have a team in European competition, mm-hmm. Rangers, which is fantastic. You know, so there's an awful lot to look forward to the end of the season. It's sometimes it gets a wee bit quieter. No, I think it's the absolute opposite this year. There is so much competition, you know, ahead of us, and, you know, just the nails will be getting bitten from many supporters, as you say, every bit of the table. Even St Johnstone, they're not completely detached yet, because once the split comes in, they will be playing teams in, you know, that bottom six, and that'll give them an opportunity to see if they can get themselves out of it.
Okay, let's see what's coming through on the phones then. Usual number 0141 951 1025. Ian is first up. How's it going, Ian?
Not bad, sir, not bad.
What are you thinking tonight? What made you call?
Well, it's this thing that's come up by way of a 10 team Premier League, by way. I think it's absolutely dreadful. I don't know who brought it up. At the moment, by way, okay, the split, by way, you've teams by way can fight for the top six, mm-hmm. teams fighting for relegation.
Yeah.
I don't know whose idea it is to go for the top 10 again.
I have to admit, I should know nothing does surprise you in Scottish football, and yet, I just didn't imagine it, Gordon. I'm hoping we'll get a gauge of this in the next couple of hours, but I just assumed everybody wanted a bigger league. That's not to say you can get it, because there are challenges and there are obstacles and all that sort of stuff. But the story that Ian's referring to, we mentioned it in the headlines. So there are talks underway with the SPFL to return to the 10-team Premiership. So there's a working group talking about current league structure, and there are a couple of plans being discussed. But the one that's reportedly gathering the most traction is to go back to the 10-team league. Before we get into the detail, look, Ian's bang against it. He's quite happy just now because he's talking about top six, playoffs. What do you make of it?
I'm not for it. I think it'll take us back the way.
It wouldn't entertain it at all.
No. I actually like the setup the way it is. I like the split. Jim's talking there about the excitement of the top six. Have a look at how many teams are in for that. Then you've got obviously relegation and the playoffs. I think it just builds everything up. And also, see when you look into the Championship, we've got teams now that can come into our Premier League and make it better and improve it. You look at Falkirk.
Is that a case to make it even bigger?
Yeah, well, I would certainly go that way or stay where it is, the status quo. I would certainly not go back to 10. I think that's a negative step back for us.
I mean, you were all involved in times when it was 10. Mm-hmm. Not to say it was terrible, but just given that we are at 12, Jim, like we said, the appetite for fans just seems to be that they want it to be bigger.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people, as Gordon says, were looking at the ambition of clubs, you know, and you can stifle ambition and you can only maybe have that ambition for a certain period of time. And if you keep kind of hitting your head off a brick wall thinking there's no opportunity to progress, eventually, maybe it's whether it's through finance, just through the fact is that, you know, you've given it your best shot, it's not quite worked. But you need opportunities, mm-hmm. you know, to go and progress as a football club. And to do that, you need to be in the top league. So, yeah, I think most people would think if you're going to change it, then it has to be bigger. I understand what they're trying to do is to get to 36 games.
Yeah, you know, so it's about fixture congestion.
And less than the games. People can say, well, if you go back to 16 teams, then you've got 30 games and so on, or 32 games, sorry. So they would say, right, you play each other twice. Mm-hmm. So therefore that's fine. And again, years ago it used to be, well, the opposition fans would come and that, you know, you would get more games. For instance, if you said it was a Celtic and Rangers game, but that doesn't matter nowadays because season tickets pretty dominate all these teams now. So if you're going to change it, it has to be increased for me, as in the amount of clubs. That can still reduce the amount of fixtures, but it gives more clubs an opportunity to progress, to enhance, as Gordon says, the competition. But as it stands at this moment in time, how can you deny the excitement of the league? It's a tremendous league in terms of excitement. There's nothing at this moment in time that you think is absolute. I mean, take nothing Celtic, you would think is as guaranteed as you could be to win the league. But every other competition there, in terms of European competition, top six, relegation, playoffs, that's all still to fight for. Mm. You've still got the fight there for promotion in the Championship as well. So I can't see it being a positive.
Ian, would you go bigger or would you stay exactly as is?
Well, I would go maybe the 12 or maybe go bigger by way. The system by way they're proposing by way is to suit the bigger clubs.
I think it's hard to... Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, because the other thing here is that a simple 16 team or an 18 team or whatever, the whole point, as we know now, whether you like it or not, is the finances of keeping the four Old Firm games, right? And we can, that's probably a separate issue. We can argue whether that's right or wrong. It just seems to be the way it is. They want to keep four.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, we've got this. So if you were going to have 16, you'd probably still need some sort of split. You could have 14 with something, a 6-8 split, whatever. In fact, give us your suggestions. Mm-hmm. Give us your creative solutions to this. That's where the bigger one would potentially struggle, Gordon. You couldn't do it without a split if you were going to maintain your four games. But it just feels like 10. Like I said, I'm open to have my mind changed on this. I've never heard any Scottish football fan over the last couple of years saying, "I know what we need. to go back to 10 teams. I've never heard that.
Gordon, I know you said the SFA, but who's proposed it? Because obviously a club proposed this change.
This is the thing. And listen, look, this would all have to be voted through.
Voted, yeah.
And it takes, what is it?
75%
of the top flight and then 75% of the top two leagues, 75% of the bottom two leagues combined, I think, is that. I'll double check that. The voting structure. So yeah, it's 11 out of 12 in the top flight, and then 75% of the combined Premiership and Championship, 75% of the 42 SPFL clubs. So like, this still has to be voted through. And
I'd be amazed if I get voted through, Gordon, because also, see, if you look at it, there's a lot of clubs in the Championship that want to be in the Premier League that have invested a lot of money full time. Players,
so they're not going to vote for it.
Everything, exactly. So you've got
two teams. You're going to lose two teams from the Premier League, so they're not going to vote for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Teams, you've got they might be in that battle or not. I mean, you know, it's Turkey's voting for Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, I just don't understand it, because I do think we've got an exciting league. I like the split. Maybe some people don't. I like it. I think it brings that excitement. Also, as Jim quite rightly says, when you're looking at that relegation, all of a sudden St Johnstone are thinking, right, we're not playing the top teams now. We've got maybe a chance of getting out here. You've got the playoffs, relegation playoffs as well. So I just think that you've got to look at the overall picture, and I think we've got a good market just now. Why are we even contemplating going the other way with it?
As you say, I don't know right now, Jim, if it's one club is driving this. I think Ian's suspicion that it suits the bigger clubs a bit more is probably accurate.
Yeah.
They can phone in and correct us if that's true, because it comes down to fixture congestion.
Yeah,
that's what they. So that the bigger clubs tend to be the ones that want to play fewer games.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that. They're the ones generally with the most money, so they maybe don't need as much revenue coming through the gates, because they get a lot of other income, you know, whether it's commercial income, TV income, etc. I get it. They're in the latter stages of most of the tournaments. So if you're in the latter stages of the Scottish Cup or each cup competition, you know, European fixtures, if you're lucky enough to stay in it long enough, all these sort of things, the extended European leagues this year, you know, the it was eight games. All these sort of things. So we're all added games, but they're all bringing in huge amounts of revenue, and they also bring profile. You don't get the same profile, I understand that, if you're playing domestically. So I can get the fact that the bigger clubs, that would be the same for any league, I would think. You know, just about any league in Europe, the bigger clubs are going to play most of the football. And we hear it time and time again. I've heard the, you know, top players all complaining about the amount of games. But for Scottish football, just take Scottish football on its own, this is an exciting league, and it's the best that we, I think, can currently
to sort of tick all
with
the boxes.
Yeah, as many boxes, not all of them, but as many as you can, Gordon. I think this is the most suitable number. Again, I think, it can maybe, some people can
what
maybe
about,
argue it could stifle progress from the lower divisions, but at this moment in time, I think that's the best option we have.
Alan is on the other line. 10 teams, Alan, would that float your boat?
No, to be honest with you, I think it's just as Gordon is. I think, I don't know if it's Gordon or Jim that says, but whoever's come up with that idea needs to be finding themselves a new job, because it's a bit mental, isn't it, if anything. But I think the league expansion would probably be a better option. And I was thinking the producer there before I come on, I think, let's see, from the point of view of our national team as well, you've got, there's players in the Championship that are potentially maybe being overlooked, whether it be Steve Clark. But if they get up into the Premier League, these teams that players at Falkirk and things like that, other teams, they'll then get a more opportunity to then blood new people into the Scotland team. Steve Clark, I'm pretty sure, will know some boys in the Championship. But I just think for us, a lot of us, the Scotland team's getting a bit on now, or some of them are older players, so there might be opportunities for people that come in for the Championship that are maybe breaking through that don't get recognition. They're not as big names, but if they go up the level, then there's a potential to increase it for that. But I think whoever's come up with the idea of a 10-team league needs to be finding themselves a new job, because it's a bit mental.
I would really hope that fans would be listened to. Not necessarily you have to listen to Clyde One Super Scoreboard and take it from there, but I would like to think fans would be listened to it. But maybe that's too much to ask in Scottish football. See what Alan says there. It feels like specifically on that, there are two competing thought. So the first one is that you know, if you open up the league, it gives you a bit more kind of freedom, I think, is what Alan's getting to as well. There's more chances, you know, for more players. Managers always say, pretty much every team, right, apart from the big city clubs and even them in previous seasons, every team fears going down. So the pressure is on straight away. So they don't play youngsters. They would rather take a chance on a 30-year-old from non-league in England who's seen as a safer pair of hands. If you extended the league, does it give you a bit more breathing space to play younger players? The competing argument specifically on that is, do you get more meaningless games? Do you get more stuff in the middle that's just a bit
I think the most important thing here is the supporters. And I think if you go down to a 10 team league, mm-hmm. I think they switch off, Gordon. I think the excitement's there. If you're going to do anything, we've got to increase it, right? Because I do believe there's teams that are investing in that championship that can come in and compete in our league. Probably not against Celtic.
Can you get more meaningless games though?
No, I don't think you would. I'm only saying that if I had the choice, I wouldn't decrease. Right. I'd increase. I would keep it the way it is. I think we've got a good product. I think the excitement's there. It's shown already. Mm-hmm. We've got two games before the split. Everybody's interested in this top six. Everybody's interested. Can St Johnstone catch Dundee and put Kilmarnock and everybody in trouble? So there's excitement for the supporters. You get down to that 10, you're closing the door.
There are a few ways of looking at it, Jim, and we'll get to them specifically on that. You know, because some people buy into this like best v best notion. Yeah. So the smaller the league, the quality is concentrated, and it's better. Other people don't agree with that, and would rather have a, like I say, there's more of a platform there, that the bigger the league is, maybe it takes certain pressures off. Which one
Well, I think you have to look at just most of the leagues in Europe, Gordon. I mean, they're all much bigger than our league. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people don't go and say, oh, the Premiership, well, that's a meaningless game, watching Brentford against Crystal Palace this week. You know, they can't get into Europe. They're not going to get relegated. You know, you have your own targets. And if you stay in that league, for instance, that could be a real... I mean, if you're consistently in the top league, you're going to bring in really good revenue. So, yeah, you have your own targets, and your own fans will support whatever your level is at. So I think, we sometimes look at our league different from the other European leagues.
I'm starting to think we're not going to find anyone who fancies the 10 teams, but come on, surprise me. 0141 951 1025. We'll speak to you next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025. I had a funny feeling. It can be a dreaded phrase at times, but other times league reconstruction gets everybody going. These phone lines have lit up on the back of that story today, that a 10-team league is being considered. It is worth bearing that in mind. Clubs would still need to vote it through. It's a pretty high bar for the votes. And if these phone lines and Twitter is anything to go by, if any club listens to their fans, I don't know if it's going to be getting much traction, but let's see how you feel about it going forward. If you don't like 10, what do you like? Do you like it the way it is? Not saying it's perfect, but it obviously has its upsides. Or do you want to go bigger? If so, how much bigger? How do you get the four Old Firm games in, etc., etc.? 0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. So give us a call right now on 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Again, there's a lot to happen here, but just if this was to happen, I think it would be unlikely to be until the 26-27 season. So that would mean three teams would face automatic relegation in one of the seasons to reduce the division. But I mean, listen, there's a lot of ground to cover before we get to that. But Gordon DL's not really having it. He's quite happy to stay as is. If anything increase, I think Jim Duffy feels pretty much the same. How do you feel? Give us your thoughts, please. James is in Yoker. How's it going, James?
I got no too bad. I think you should increase the league to 16. And split it into 2 8s. That means that we've just got the bottom 8 will play each other twice. That means that we're going to play 29 games. The last Old Firm game, I know there's only going to be 3. The last one could be played at Hampden. That means you get a 50-50 split. That means you've got 2 Old Firm games. One is Parkhead and one at Ibrox. And the third one's at Hampden, a 50-50 split. because the way it is, you know, Celtic only get so many fans going to Ibrox and Rangers have so many fans going to Parkhead. So I think the 16 may be better.
Did you follow James's plan?
Yes.
I'm just trying to crunch the numbers there. And sometimes
James just thought it out in terms of particularly the Celtic Rangers scenario of if it's a third game, then you play it at Hampden, which is, hey, I suppose, is a possibility.
But so hold on, but that was only what? So they all play each other.
Well,
twice,
and then just
one more round of fixtures after that. Right, okay, so
one round. You know, I don't know how that would go if it was Hearts and Hibs as well. You move, we need to play Murrayfield and so on and so forth.
Great.
But I think that there's going to be permutations out there, particularly, you know, whether it's James or any other fans that are thinking about it. I don't like complicated things. I try to keep it as simple as possible. As Gordon was mentioning earlier on, this moment in time, I've got 6-6, and it seems to work, you know, because of, again, the excitement, the drama. And football is about drama, it is about excitement, you know, it is about tension. You know, you need that nervousness, whether it's to get into Europe, whether it's to stay in the division, all these sort of things. That's all part of, you know, the football drama. If you get 8-8, will you have the same tension? I would guess not. There's going to be teams that are sitting there, you know, 9th and 10th, relatively comfortable.
How do you feel about the... Because I think just purely for fans, you know, who maybe don't have to find a solution, or they can just have their dream scenario. I think the thing that really puts people off, Gordon, is just the repetitive nature of it. You play the same teams 4 times a season, draw them in a cup. Obviously, you're up at 5, you might play them again in the cup. So, you know, people are fed up, it feels like. Is that the main driver, do you think, for wanting it to be bigger?
I think people want it to be bigger because I think the sort of a standard we've now got in the Championship. I think years ago, you looked at teams in the Championship, some of them were part-time, some of them weren't investing a lot of money. You look at ones now, you're not telling me Falkirk can't come up to a league and add something.
I mean, but is that not a byproduct of that? If you're a Motherwell fan or a St Mirren fan, are you... Maybe they're more honourable than me, but are you that bothered? Are you saying, oh, I really feel terrible for Ayr. I really wish Ayr specifically were up. Or is it that, do you know what, these 4 times a season, it's just boring and we want a bit more variety?
The thing is, Gordon, it's not that long ago that St Mirren were in the Championship. Mm-hmm. You know, so were Hearts, so were Rangers, so were Hibs, you know,
Dundee United.
I mean, we've had huge clubs, but they've had, you know, an opportunity to get up either by winning a league or through the playoffs. So it gives these clubs who by right really should be in the top division. And as Gordon is saying, if you look at the top three just now, Livingston had been in a Premier League club for a number of years, and we also have to congratulate Davy Martindale and his team for winning the trophy last week, 5-0, unbelievable result. You know, and Ayr United not been up for a long time. Teams like Partick Thistle, you know, obviously Mark just been given the job with Brian Graham to the end of the season, so we wish Mark well. You know, Patrick, that's what a big club. You know what I mean? And they're a club that draws really good support, as you mentioned. All of those clubs with Falkirk, Ayr United, they've all got really good support. So, you know, I just think there's got to be opportunities for these clubs to try and get themselves into that situation. So, if anything, you have to expand it, not make it more difficult. Going to a 10-team league would absolutely make it more difficult for any of these teams to have an opportunity to get to the top level.
Do you think there's any chance, James, 10 teams in, you're not having that at all?
No, either side with 12 or go to the 16.
I think we're all in the middle, I guess.
I look at our standard of football just now, and I think it's good. I think it's exciting. We're getting decent crowds going.
You mentioned there, was it 25 goals you said at the weekend?
Yeah. Exactly. And I looked at the fixtures and I thought...
For 6 games?
We're going to have tight games here. 25 goals, entertainment, everything about it. We're getting up and down like a yo-yo for the top six. There's excitement there. There's 2 or 3 teams can go and certainly get in the top six. You look at relegation, you look at the playoffs, you look at the teams at the Championships going to play against 11th in our Premier League. I think we've got a good product. I don't know why we're starting to... You know, now talk. I don't care what anybody says. Going back to 10 is not the way forward for our football.
I feel in the nicest way possible, we started talking about different things. I was just keen to get your thoughts. Aside from whether you think the Championship teams are capable, do you think the 4 a season's a turn off in any way? I know you like. I tend to agree with you. I think if there isn't a perfect solution, you need to acknowledge that. And whether you like it or not, if we need the 4, confirmed games.
Gordon, I don't think it is for the majority of our league as it stands just now. And part of the reason that is because it's so many derbies. You've got right, Celtic, okay, Rangers, yeah, you've got Dundee, Dundee United, so you've got Hearts, Hibs. You know, even St Johnstone, Dundee, St Johnstone, Dundee, these seen as a bit of a derby. Aberdeen, Dundee, Dundee United, seen as a bit of a derby. You know what I mean? So I just think there's more derbies. Yeah. If you had Ross County and Inverness, I know all these kind of things, but you can't have the perfect scenario in any league.
Yeah.
But I think in a 12-team league, we have
as close as
you can get. So you're not, I mean, you ask a Dundee fan, are you getting fed up playing Dundee United four times? No, absolutely not. Yeah. Hearts, Hibs, absolutely not. Well, so I just think that for as best as we can get, that is exciting for clubs, you know, and draws again profile to the league.
What do you think? Because like I said, not that people tend to care my thoughts on it, but I feel like I don't mind it right now. And I think because the split, there's the jeopardy there, you're trying to get there, a lot of meaningful games. I think 12 teams for a country of our size is not outrageous. But the one competing thought, I think, is that it's just a bit samey.
Not for me, because, and the reason I'll tell you, if you go and do your homework, probably you'll see that this year the crowds are up. Right, so it's bringing something. It's not like the fans are switching off and going, listen, we're bored here with watching the same football.
I don't think it's terrible. I don't think it's terrible. I just think it's maybe the one thing that would be nice to somehow find a way around and keep all the other things that we've got going for.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You're looking for utopia, you're looking for perfection. Again, in any division, right across anywhere, you will not get perfection. And I think this is as good as we can get with the clubs, with the population that we have, you know, as Gordon says, you know, I mean, taking everything into consideration, it is a very competitive league, and I think that's what you want. People could talk about Celtic dominating could win the treble this year, of course they could, but again, you will find that in a number of leagues over Europe. The rest of the league is, as I said, is openly competitive.
Graham's on the other line. Thank you to James. Graham, you might have a vested interest a bit. You're a Partick Thistle fan, so I'm keen to get a Championship perspective. What do you reckon?
No way we can have a 10-team Premier League. It's nonsense. It's an appallingly backward step. It's already hard enough for the Championship teams to get up into the Premiership, and you want to cut two teams. It sounds like they're trying to set up a cartel.
I get that feeling. Like I said, I don't know specifically who's driving this or what clubs would need to vote on it anyway. Does it feel like this suits certain types of clubs rather than others?
Yeah, I don't think you'll see anybody in the Championship voting for that. You'd need to be crazy. You know what I mean? You're investing a lot of money. People are investing a lot of money in this Championship because what they see is the pot of the gold at the end. They're trying to get in this Premier League. They're trying to stay there. They're trying to build their clubs. They're trying to build. And you're never going to get... And Jim's right. You got a Partick Thistle coming into your Premier League. They're bringing big support. They're bringing a lot to the party. And so is Ayr United. I've been there under Scott Brown. You look at Neil Lennon going into a club the size of Dunfermline. If he stays there for next year, try and kick on. We've been on for, 40 minutes? Not one person's come on this phone and said, I think the 10 league is the right way.
Graham's right. I mean, his own club has had such a difficult time. When you finish fourth, you've got to play at least six games if you get there at the end of the season when you've had injuries and your team's absolutely shattered. And, you know, the Premier League teams, it's already loaded towards keeping them in there. So to make it even harder, I just don't see how... You know, and the development of football, how that can improve Scottish football. I get your point going earlier on about the repetitive nature of playing each other four times. But as I said, in Scotland, because of the size of the country, I'm just talking even travelling wise. I mean, people sometimes say, "Oh, it's 3 hours to Inverness or Ross County." You know, when you're in England, you could travel 8-9 hours and something like that. So, you know, I think we make such a big deal out about quite insignificant matters at times.
I mean, surely this wouldn't pass then, Graham. I mean, as Gordon says, am I missing something? That the Championship clubs wouldn't go for this, would they?
No, I don't think so. The problem that we have, I mean, as a Championship fan, I accept that Thistle haven't been in the Premiership for a while, and we've been in the Championship for a long time, toiling in the playoffs to try and get through. the problem I've got is even in the Championship, you're playing the same teams four times a season. Last season, with the way the League Cup set up, as you play another, you're almost likely to play another Championship team before the season's even started for the league. So the whole idea of playing teams four times is just, for a fan's perspective, it's boring. To even suggest that we have a top flight that's 10 teams is just completely against what all Scottish football fans seem to want.
So, Graham, would you be the opinion to go to a 16-team league? Would that be your preference?
I'll be honest, I've been shouting for years to go to at least a 16, if not an 18 or a 20.
Of course, Partick Thistle fans are going to want to increase, Jim, for goodness sake. They weren't involved.
Of course, but the thing is, you know, some people might just say, no, I understand the competitive nature, the league as it stands is a good product. But Graham, as he said, I think, like a lot of fans, particularly in the Championship, of course, there's a bit of self-interest. Everybody's got self-interest in their football club. I get that. But he's mentioned there, playing each other four times, he feels that is a bit monotonous. And he's right, in the League Cup section at the start of the season, you have every chance of playing somebody in your division as well. So there's another game there as well.
Very quickly, Graham, before I let you go, is Mark Wilson going to lead you through the playoffs to Premiership glory?
I hope so, but I'm not nearly as confident as I was 2 years ago.
It's tough, isn't it, coming from fourth?
And we know how 2 years ago worked out.
Exactly.
I'm happy with the appointment. I said, when, unfortunately, I didn't agree with Doolan going, I didn't agree with that at all. I think he should have been given a bit more time. His job was to get us to the playoffs. You were several months away from the playoffs when he got banned. Brian Graham and Mark Wilson have done a great job, but I have a preference, and it's not them.
Oh, who is it?
Stuart Kettlewell, if we could afford them.
Oh, well, he's still out of work, you never know. Thank you very much to Graham in Scotstoun. Yet again, another one. No chance, no 10-team league, they say. So get your calls in. 01419511025. Give us a call right now.
Oh my God.
Cash Dash.
Brilliant stuff, man.
Imagine winning £510,000. Do not put it off. That is what's up for grabs by the end of this week. £510,000. So text yes to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523. And the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. And all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Now, the lines close at 5 p.m. on Friday. Do not fall into that trap of thinking you've got ages to go and then you miss it. So text yes to 61025. The £510,000 could be yours.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Jim Duffy are here on 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. So many calls coming in about this league reconstruction business and whether or not Scottish football should go to a 10-team top flight. Needless to say, not a single person in support of it yet. But if you're that lone voice out there, if you're Neil Doncaster, you can give us a call. By the way, I'm not saying it's his idea, he's just acting on behalf of the club. So whatever you're thinking, get your calls in and do let us know. Now I'm going to bring in our reporter Andrew McLean to join the show for a bit, because you may have heard, I'm sure you have, a very sort of important story, one that's been going on for across years in Scottish football, an important development today, but one obviously is a very different, much more serious mood than what we would normally do on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but super important, more important than pretty much all of our other topics really. So I want to bring in Andrew McLean to tell us a bit more about the facts on the day that more than 20 legal claims of historical abuse at Celtic Boys Club have been settled. We have sporadically, every time there's an update, this has dragged on for so long, but every time there's a significant update that involves Celtic Football Club, try and sort of update the story a little bit. So Andrew joins us on the line because he's been all across this story all day on our news bulletins and on the website and on social media and so on. So Andrew, maybe you could, for people who haven't seen the detail or don't quite grasp the significance of this, just bring us up to speed on what's happened today.
Yeah, so as you say, Gordon, big news today. Thompson solicitors, who have been handling the claims relating to that historical child abuse at Celtic Boys Club, confirmed this morning that a seven-figure settlement has been agreed. Now, this has all come about because Thompson's launched a US-style class action lawsuit where they can represent several clients in a group litigation. Today's settlement relates to around 70% of the claimants, which I'm led to believe is 22 former players in total. Celtic have agreed to pay them compensation, which is essentially the top line for you there. The lawyers are hoping that they'll be able to settle the remaining cases in the next few weeks. It's always good in these cases to get the proper legal expertise. We've been speaking to Laura Connor, who's a partner at Thompson Solicitors, who are the representatives of the survivors, and here's what she said about today's settlement.
It's a very significant milestone for our clients. They have been pursuing these cases with resolute dignity for a number of years. The litigation has been made very complex and lengthy by the way it has been defended, and so I do hope that they see this now as a positive outcome and an opportunity for them now to move on. We've got cases left that we want to now settle, and our job is to make sure that we achieve full settlement for each of those individuals as well. And we, of course, have a number of other cases that we will be focused on doing the same with.
So, Andrew, you know, the headline, the official outcome, that this has been settlement, there's a settlement being reached, that's the official outcome. People will obviously then draw conclusions and read between the lines. What conclusions are being drawn from this development today?
Yeah, so it's important to establish that this is an out-of-court settlement. There's no judge, there's no jury, there's no specific verdict. This is an agreement between Thompson solicitors, those affected by the historical abuse, and Celtic Football Club. So really all parties will sort of draw their own conclusions from today's news. Now, Celtic Football Club have long maintained that the Boys Club was, in their words, an entirely separate entity from the Football Club. But Laura Connor at Thompson says today's settlement shows her that the two are inextricably linked.
The settlements have all been agreed out with any court setting, and so there haven't been formal admissions of liability or formal apologies being made. But what I would say is that our clients can take this compensation as confirmation that Celtic Boys Club was indeed inextricably linked to Celtic Football Club. I think it would very much help survivors of abuse at the Boys Club if there was a formal acknowledgement that Celtic Football Club was indeed responsible for that. They accept responsibility and they make an apology. That would be very welcomed by our clients.
What has happened on that then, Andrew? What have Celtic said about this?
Yeah, so we spoke to Laura earlier on in the day, and then in the last couple of hours we've heard from Celtic. They've released a statement. They confirm what we heard from Thompson's in terms of the settlement and the hope of more settlements and that they can be reached soon. They acknowledge the strength of survivors of abuse and say that they're appalled by any form of historic abuse and have great sympathy for those who have suffered abuse and their families as well. They go on to say the club is very sorry that these events took place at Celtic Boys Club. The club takes this abuse extremely seriously because of the historic contacts between the two organisations. They finish off by saying the abuse of young people is an abhorrent crime which has unfortunately affected many areas of society. The club continues to work with Scottish Football to make it a safe place for all young people.
I think clearly, Andrew, the priority here by an absolute mile is the survivors and how they feel about this and how they feel about this development today. But in a wider sense, is there a football angle here? Does Scottish football react in any way to this?
Well, I think to sort of look forward and see what the future holds for this, you maybe actually need to look back to an independent report into historic sex abuse that was published by the SFA in 2021. This was a real substantial review. It lasted years, ended up making several recommendations of what Scottish football should do as a whole going forward. Some of the main recommendations were asking for public apologies from the clubs involved, looking at cultural and structural reforms as well. So that's like advocating for improved child protection policies and enhanced support systems for those survivors that you mentioned. And as well as that, you know, enhanced safeguarding measures, allocating more resources to child protection, making sure lessons are learned from the past and making sure that these things absolutely do not happen again. Essentially, it's about getting the whole of Scottish football working together for a safer environment for young people rather than apportioning blame for things that have happened, you know, in decades past. context. So you'd expect those will continue to be the recommendations that they'll look at when dealing with these very serious historic cases.
Yeah, thank you very much to Andrew McLean. Like we said, a very important development today, but a very delicate one, and I think everybody that listens to the show regularly knows in terms of the sort of platform where we all come on and have a bit of fun and throw our opinions around it, this is a little bit different. So thank you to Andrew for bringing us up to speed. You can read more about that on the news pages of the website and so on, and we thank him for his time. We will be back very shortly, as always, so give us a call, 01419511025, if you want to play Beat the Pundit as well. That would be coming up next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 01419511025, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy's here, so is Gordon DL, taking your calls on 01419511025. Honestly, league reconstruction, that's it. You just need to see those two words. These phone lines are about as busy as they have been in a long time. And they're always busy, but yeah, seriously, taken to new heights tonight, I think, because people want to have their say. And it's funny because it kind of goes away, doesn't it, for a couple of years.
Thankfully.
When was the last time COVID was that discussed around because of all the stuff about when and what to do with the leagues? I feel like we maybe discussed it then. It goes to bed
roughly every four years
for 4 or 5 years, comes back again. That's a good point. It's like the Olympics. Then that's true,
reconstruction Olympics,
because you do need a 4 year training cycle to prepare yourself for it, I think. So anyway, let's keep the calls coming because there's clearly an appetite for it. I'm nearly going to admit defeat. I don't think we're going to find anyone who supports the 10 team top flight, but if you're out there, come on, you'd be famous. You'd be the most famous caller of the night. Give us a call, we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. How do we look at these? Producer Jay sent me the questions and I thought, I do think these are tough.
Tough?
I do, I think they are tough.
I think they did deliberate when me and you are on.
I'm in fire, mate.
Oh, yeah.
I even get presents sent now when I beat people. That's how much they respect me.
What do you mean?
Well, Alison Stornoway, remember on Thursday?
Alison from Stornoway.
Was that what that
sent me box my black there, pudding?
You're joking.
No, and I thank her very much.
What do you do to deserve this stuff?
Well, I think it was.
I thought that was Madame Tussauds. That was a part of you.
I was a sporting gesture of.
I remember.
That was
Thursday. Alison came on from Stornoway.
Yep.
You inevitably made some stupid joke about sending you black pudding. Yep. It's the only thing you could think about in relation to Stornoway. It's here already.
Yes, it's arrived. I thank Alison very much.
How much does that put us to shame in the 6 months it takes for people to get their signed ball?
Alison can
get a black pudding down here in a few days.
I'm so glad she didn't win, because I'd be embarrassed. I'd have to go to Stornoway myself and hand the ball.
Did you beat her?
I beat her, yeah.
I'm afraid you are another
one. She was
one
good
of those. You're going to be furious. You're even a win tonight, not enough to move you.
I don't know how this is working.
Well, you would get closer, don't get me wrong, to the person above you.
You're
but just not
just as lucky. There's 12 guys in this
exactly
league.
If you do league reconstruction for you,
I'm up there. I've played about 40 games.
You know, they always say, Jim, there's no asterisk. No. If there's certain conditions, this is one you should hang on to, right? You go level with Roger Hanna if you win tonight.
All right, okay.
He does play on -2 these days, but we just ignore that. Yeah. Who needs to know? Roberts in Belsill, how's it going, Robert?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Not bad. Heads, it will be Jim Duffy. Tails, it will be Gordon DL. So let's see what we've got here. Oh, we've dropped the coin. Right. I've still got it. It's heads, Jim Duffy, up against Robert from Bells Hill. So what we do here is give Jim something else to listen to, and that way he can hear what's going on. 30 seconds. Robert, you just answer as many as you can. You're allowed to pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Roger.
Ready. 30 seconds. On the clock. Your time starts now. Who's former Rangers player Ryan Kent signed for?
Oh, pass.
Apart from Arne Engels, who's the only other Celtic player to score a league penalty this season?
Callum McGregor.
Outside which stadium would you find a statue of Jim McLean?
Livingston.
Which team have committed the most fouls in the Scottish Premiership this season?
Kilmarnock.
Who replaced Walter Smith as Rangers manager the second time around?
Alan McCoy.
McDermott Park was named after a local what?
Knight.
Okay, that's tough questions. Tough, aren't they?
Oh, they are.
Are you agreeing?
Yeah.
Good, because you usually disagree with me just out of badness.
No. There's one or two that you'll cruise, but
aye, right.
But you're not going to get a five or a six tonight.
No, that's all right. If I get one, I'll be
Good questions.
Anyway,
there.
I was enjoying listening to
that.
Luther
was
Vandross,
good, wasn't it? Yeah. Is that who it was? Yeah, I was trying to work out.
It was about Luther Vandross.
What was the song, Jim?
I think it was. But anyway,
right, you ready? Really same set of questions.
Let's go.
Jim Duffy, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Whose former Rangers player Ryan Kent signed for?
What's an MLS team? I can't remember. Pass.
Other than Arnie Ingles, who's the only other Celtic player to score a league penalty this season?
Maida.
Outside which stadium would you find a statue of Jim McLean?
Dundee United.
Which team have committed the most fouls in the Scottish Premiership this season?
St Johnstone.
Who replaced Walter Smith as Rangers manager the second time around?
Alec McLeish.
McDermott Park was named after a local what?
Farmer.
Okay. What are you thinking, Robert?
Oh, I don't know.
They are tough tonight, aren't they?
I tell you what, he's very convincing with Farmer. You knew that, didn't you?
Aye.
Did you? That was brilliant. I couldn't have got that.
Aye.
Let's find out how confident he should be. Whose former Rangers player Ryan Kent signed for? Seattle Sounders.
Yeah, I knew it was an MLS, but yeah, didn't know which one.
None of you got it right. Other than Arnie Ingles, who's the only Celtic player to score a league penalty this season.
I was going to say Kuhn.
Adam Ida.
All right.
Hearts.
Oh. No. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Outside which stadium would you find Jim McLean's statue? It is Tannadice. Mm-hmm. I know I run a tight ship, but I've given Dundee United. That's fine. Yeah.
Both got it.
No, yeah. Robert didn't get it.
Oh, Robert.
I know. So it's 1-0 to Jim Duffy.
I already bet Dazzler last year. I'm still waiting on my ball.
Did you?
Hold on a minute. I am not buying that because you're sitting on a donut. Then you've not even got a question, right?
I bet you when Scotland were in the Euros, when you were in Scotland were playing Cologne.
Oh, you were in Germany. To be fair, you had a chance.
He wasn't.
Was it the night after the night?
He wasn't fully match fit for most of the Euros. No. So there's no surprise. You did. That brings a bell.
I get beat a few times over there.
Anyway, so it's 1-0 still to Jim Duffy. Who replaced Walter Smith as Rangers manager the second time? It was Ali McCoy. And Robert gets it. He equalises. Okay. McDermott Park was named after a local farmer. He's got it straight on. I'm not sure I would have known. Now that you say it, because it was farmland, yeah, and the stadium, yeah, was built, so it makes sense. But I don't think I'm getting that under pressure with this man.
I was never getting that.
A farmer. What did you say again, Robert?
I can't even remember.
A knight, I think Robert said.
A knight.
A knight.
Chainmail on, sort of thing like
it's
that.
It's not a 2-1 victory, is it?
It's a 2-1 victory.
2-1. Well done, Jim.
To Jim Duffy.
Listen, it's all about getting the win. It doesn't matter how you do it.
So, seriously, Robert, you won at the Euros in June and you've still not got your signed ball?
Nope.
That's pretty poor from us, really, isn't it?
Well, you did say 6 months. You can now add another 3 months to that.
It's not great.
I'll drop off from Belsham.
You could.
Yeah.
You could do that.
I'll drop it off you.
I'm not that far away. I'll drop it off next week, Robert, okay?
Yes or no, Robert, would you take a 10-team top flight?
Oh, what the hell, man. I want a 16 league at least.
There we go. Everybody's saying it. I'm interested in the subtle balance, right? Because everybody keeps saying bigger is better, which is fine, and I'm not totally against it, but everyone's going straight to 16. I wonder if that becomes just a wee bit too big. Now, I get it. Why not?
The 14, the
86. Thistle, Ayr, Falkirk, whatever, you know, add them all in. I just wonder if for a country of our size, the financial risks that may be attached, I'm obviously not an expert, I wonder if 16's a bit big. What do you think?
Are you asking me? Are you asking Robert?
Both. No, you two.
No, I think it's big. Yeah. I think it's too big.
Yeah, so you go 14 or stay
out. I'm staying where we are, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going back to it and I keep saying it. I think the proof is in the pudding that we're getting bigger crowds. So there's something, the product's working. So I don't know if 16 would be a good way forward. Mm-hmm. I think we've got excitement. I think we've got the split. I think, especially this year, with the fact that the way Hibs and Hearts started off the season, sitting down the bottom, all of a sudden Hibs are up there in third. Aberdeen had a wonderful start. We're packing out crowds.
Can we make it 13? One team gets a free week.
A free week.
Well, that's all we need.
You were a player, you get a free week. You'd be off skate somewhere off. Exotic.
Listen, I've always said I wanted to be a number three goalkeeper, so I'd never get a game.
Like when you play in one of those five-a-side competitions and yeah, you just... Your team takes the turn at sitting at the side and shouting at everybody. You can do that. But you need to go. If it's your free week, your team needs to pick a game. and go and sit in the stands.
No. Go and watch the opposition.
Anyway, 01419511025. It really has got everybody going. The phone line's still really ticking along with this stuff. So what are you thinking? League reconstruction. There actually is another, I was going to say similar story, I don't know if that's quite accurate, but you know what I mean, one of these kind of administrative things that came up today. You could get your thoughts as well. So the SPFL are now going to allow Scotland representatives in European competition to postpone league games ahead of UEFA playoff ties.
It's only playoff ties.
Playoff
isn't
ties
it?
So because the fixture's pretty congested as it is, so that just if you can get to the league phase of Champions League or Europa League or Conference League, so it could benefit a number of our teams next season. They've got the option, because you might not be, you might not want to, you might want that, you know, keep playing, keep getting up to speed and all that stuff, because some teams are quite good at that. But that's now the option for next season. So what do you make of it? 01419511025. I've got a funny feeling loads of you want to keep giving us your suggestions. We really should have thought ahead and got a prize for like the best league reconstruction suggestion, shouldn't we? Any of those beetroot crisps left in that box over there? No,
no, they're all gone
from 3 months ago. Alan's in Rutherglen. How are you, Alan?
I'm good, thanks. Good.
I've been trying all night, Alan, to find one person who likes the idea of a 10-team top flight. Are you that man?
Definitely not.
Didn't
no,
think
definitely
so.
Definitely not.
What are you thinking then?
Well, I've been thinking about it. I think the 16-team league's ideal, but obviously I know they like to get Celtic and Rangers to play each other four times. So try to work that out with making it competitive the whole season is quite difficult. So what I was thinking was, three teams are 16, so you've got 16 in the Premier League, you've got 16 in the Championship, and you've got 16 in the First Division. So you would get some teams for the lower leagues up to make that 48 teams. Okay. And then your 16 teams would be, so you play each other twice, so that would be 30 games. And I think the top four should split. They would play each other twice. So what would happen with the other 12? That's the kind of difficult part to keep it interesting. So what I was thinking was have some sort of seeding policy. So wherever you are, so basically if you're the top of that 12, you would play basically the bottom team at home. So basically the top six of that bottom half would play at home, that would play the bottom six at home, and then the computer would work it out. So you would get three home games and three away games, depending on the seeding. Just like the Champions League now, it's all kind of seeds. Now they worked at a 36-team league, and God knows how they made that work, but it worked. Mm-hmm. So you get the top four, split them, play each other twice, the bottom 12, play three home, three away, depending on the seeds where you are. And then maybe the fifth place can get a European spot. The bottom two would get relegated. Your third bottom and your fourth bottom would then play the third and fourth in the Championship for a semi-final and a final for your other place.
Right, the only problem is you've lost Gordon DL, but that's not that difficult. So that's
I'm trying to work out
that's not a deal breaker here.
As Alan was saying it.
I'm want to figure out, Alan, what
I'm going to the AI in my phone to try and kind of...
What is it?
A1. Not AI, it's A1.
What, yeah, it's even get this working.
Alan, what is it that drives this then? Why? Because I think even you would admit that's more complicated than what we've got now. And some people say that it's too complicated now. So what makes you want to go to those lengths?
Because I think, well, look at the Champions League. Look how complicated that was. And we seem to all get through it, going through the actual campaign. But I think it's important for more teams in Scotland to play each other in the top league. And I also think, so see when you get the 30 games, I also think when teams play each other twice, I think that the other teams like the Aberdeens, the Hibs, they could get in a run and they could end up in the top four and they could actually be close to the top two, because they're not playing Celtic and Rangers a total of eight times. So if they can keep in there until the 30th game, you don't know what can happen when it comes to the crunch time at the end. Basically, like Aberdeen played like 12 games at the start. They won 12 out of 12, and then they went through a bad run because they played Celtic, they got hammering, then they lost their confidence. It's basically these teams play Celtic and Rangers too much. I think the competition would last longer if they avoided playing them so much. But maybe when it gets to 30 games, they would have a chance because of finishing line.
That's an interesting point. I'm not saying Alan's found the solution, because Gordon Dale's head is absolutely spinning here. But I have heard that mentioned, you know, that although Celtic and Rangers have got more money anyway, maybe they would be impossible to catch, but it certainly makes it harder when you need to play them four times, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, Jim, you've been there most recently as a, you know, as a manager.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you you look at your fixture list as a manager and you think yourself, right, and you can be, as Alan said there, you could be on a decent run and then your maybe next couple of games is a way to say Celtic and then it maybe Rangers or home or something like that, and you've got them back to back. You know, most time, more often than not, you lose those two games. And before you know it, whether it's the media, whether it's, you know, just you know, the social media or whatever it happens to be, people then highlight, oh, you've no won, or you might draw a couple of games, all of a sudden you've no won for four games. Mm-hmm. And then that puts pressure on managers, puts pressure on players, even though you've had the two toughest games perhaps in that run. So yeah, Alan's got a point in the sense of it's not that unrealistic, as he mentioned there, that Aberdeen could have won 12 games. If you only get 30 games in a season, you know, you're over a third of the season.
Yeah, but is there no negative in the financial side, Jim?
Financially, clubs? Of course, yes, because again, as mentioned, you're losing. You're losing a good number of games. But I do think if you're a team like Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs in particular, the big clubs, if you want to call it that, in Scottish football, if you're doing well, your home games will be sold out anyway, Gordon. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tynecastle will be sold out, Easter Road will be sold out, Pittodrie, these will all be sold out.
Alan backs up his point, fine, that's what we're here for.
And you're looking for European football as well.
I do just wonder, Gordon, and I know he said about the Champions League, but the people who don't like the split feel that it's like engineered, you know, it's artificial. It feels like Alan's plan, as well thought out as it is now adding a whole lot more to that. So I don't know if we'd then complain down the line that it was, you know, it was over engineered and it was too complicated.
Yeah, I think we would look. I must admit, I've liked the European set up this year.
Yeah,
you know, the league situation.
Yeah. Well, it gives Sheila a great chance. Exactly. Really, if you think about it, you know, after losing to
I think it's been exciting. And look, see, if I was sitting here and I looked at our present footballer now, I would be all for change if the standard wasn't good. I think our league is good just now. Mm-hmm. I think the 12 works. I like the split. Some people might not. I think it brings excitement. Top six works. There's a lot of competitive games there after the split as well. So I don't know why we're... The 10's a no-no for me, 100%. But I don't know why we're now trying to complicate things by going, well, stick in another four teams. Right. There's an avenue there for teams. You've got a relegation, you've got a playoff, you've got the teams in the championship, in the top four, can potentially get a chance to get in there. So I think we've got a good product.
Yeah, it's not like we haven't done anything, because first of all it went to 12 and there was a split, and then the current version of the playoffs have only been in, would this be the 10th season? It's quite new, but
Gordon, invariably there's only one, possibly two teams and when the split comes up that, if he said, would be unlikely to have something to play for, which is normally the seventh team.
Yeah.
Normally the seventh team is a decent enough amount of points, because something like was it last year, it was goal average, or the last game of the season, was it Motherwell and Livingston and teams like that. But so, you know, that invariably, you can't, as I said before, you'll never get everybody perfect, but there's always three or four teams still get into, you know, pretty much the last fortnight of the season with a chance of finishing second bottom, if not bottom, and also get into Europe. So as Gordon was mentioned, what else can we give in a country the size of Scotland with the amount of teams that we have? You know, you can't cram any more in, and you can't take any more away, because it will dilute the product.
It's a good point, because I think when you're on the outside of it, maybe you're a Celtic or Rangers fan, or it's easy to say, oh, like, top six, who cares if you make the top six? You know, what does it really mean? But see, actually, when you're really in it, I think the game you referenced, Motherwell score last minute at Livingston to get in the top six, and it knocks Livy out the top six. Livy player, I've heard them speak about it before, were distraught, like genuinely as if, you know, one of the worst results ever. Motherwell fans are celebrating, spilling onto the pitch. Is it perfect?
No, but I'm not saying that. But I mean, I'm 20 years or so away from managing Dundee, right, in the Premier League. And I think we were in the top six. I don't think Dundee have been in the top six since then. You know, which shows you how difficult it is, and the challenge and the ambition for clubs to get there. So that is a target for clubs. I mean, we heard about Dundee United talking about again, a huge club, saying, listen, we've now got an opportunity to be in the top six. These are achievements for these type of clubs. And I think that you can't disguise the fact that invariably Celtic and Rangers are going to finish 1 and 2. So therefore the rest of the teams have got something to fight for.
What do you think? Is it as broken as people think it is? Would you do 10, 12, 14, 16? Well, with all sorts, well, with every solution out there so far, I think we can find more somehow. So give us a shout. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Jim Duffy are here. 0141 951 1025. You can tell these two are from the same generation. I was just listening in during the break as they were talking about the good old days where they used to wear their boots in the bath to soften them up. But is that what the idea was?
Leather, so
they fit
yeah.
your feet properly.
Yeah, because you got them a wee maybe half size too big, and then you wore them in the bath. The leather shrink to your feet, mould round your feet, and then you held on to them for as long as you possibly could. Today, I don't know, they'll probably get about 6-7 pair of boots each.
That's got to be changed days, surely. I don't know. I mean, it's been a while since I bought a pair of boots.
Well, you don't have leather for a start. They're man-made fabric now. You don't have leather.
No. My surprise was when I spoke to Mark Wilson about this. When we were younger, you used to go to the bootman and you'd open my cupboard up and it was just full of boots and they'd give you a pair of, whatever you wanted.
World Cup.
Aye, World Cup, Moldies, whatever. Yeah. And then when we were going on the TV, we knew that Saturday sports scene, you had to paint the stripes.
So they could see it in the TV. Sponsors,
seriously?
They would
make sure, if it didn't matter, if you were, whoever your sponsor was, had to make sure that the logo could be seen.
White paint on a Friday.
Learn something new every day. That's quite remarkable, honestly. 0141 951 1025. Incidentally, we're talking league reconstruction. I didn't expect it today, I have to say. When I woke up, you always do that. You think, oh, what's going to be the talking point tonight? All of a sudden this afternoon, league reconstruction, and these phone lines are roasting. So keep them coming if you so wish. Got a good teaser for you tonight, courtesy of Jack in Kilbarkin. So thank you to Jack. He got the gist of it. You come up with a question, you email it fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the six top flight, the top six top flight goal scorers this century who've not played for either of the Old Firm? So the top six top flight goal scorers.
Premiership?
Yes.
Shankland?
No.
Michael Higden?
Yes.
Shanklin, not one?
No. What I don't mind telling you, you
Liam
need...
Boyce?
Yes.
Good. What about Adam Rooney?
Yes, okay, leave it there, because you're halfway there already, so no more for now. To put you in the picture for guys like Shanklin, you need 61 top flight goals to be on this list.
Right, okay. Right?
So Liam Boyce has got 61. I think Shanklin is somewhere in the 50s when we double checked it yesterday. 53, I think, top flight goals. So leave it there because you've got plenty of time. Let's bring in Scott in Somerston. How are you, Scott?
I'm all right. Just working on about the league thing, the reconstruction. I think we could do it with 14 teams. Here's the way I think we could do it.
Okay.
You could all play each other twice. It's nice and simple, by the way. You all play each other twice. That's 26 games.
Oh, so how many? 14 teams?
Yeah.
14 teams.
Sorry.
All play each other twice. That's 26 games. You break into your top six and a bottom eight. The top six play each other twice again, home and away. That gives you 36 games. The bottom eight would play each other another twice as well. That would take them to 40 games per season. But at the bottom of the league, you're no really getting Europe, and you've not got as many cup games and things. So you would expect that would be doable. Coming into the April, May, summer nights.
Okay.
And everybody's playing each other the same amount of times, home and away. It's fair enough.
What do you think? Is that nearly there for you?
Yeah, I like it. I just keep going back and saying, look, I'm a bit old fashioned here. I would stay with what I've got.
Let's just say it's going to be changed, though. Would that be?
I think that would work. I see that. I think there's games in there that have been important. You've got to watch that you don't get away from. You know, supporters turn off about the games, and especially the 40 games. But it's different, and it brings more teams in. And I think our league, because of the quality we've got in the Championship coming up, i.e. the Falkirk, can certainly add to a bigger league if that's the way we're going to go.
Jim, I see where Scott's coming from. This whole idea, the whole reason we're having this discussion about 10 is because some clubs feel we play too too many games. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the top half or the top six of that table, yeah, you're down to 36 games from 38. Mm-hmm. Now, you would, in theory, think that it is those bigger mm-hmm. teams, that the top teams that are playing yeah. too many games. Mm-hmm. So could the bottom teams handle it? That said, there won't be many leagues where you play 40 games in the season.
No, but you would also, they would probably prefer more games because they would give them an extra two home games, which money. Would mean there would be more money coming.
Which you miss out on because
you're not going to play in the top half, and you would miss out on an extra game against the Old Firm or if, you know, against Hearts, Hibs or whoever. It doesn't matter, to be one of the bigger teams. More likely, not guaranteed, because as I mentioned before, you know, all, most of these teams have all been in the Championship in relatively recent times. So again, there's no guarantee for anybody. But yeah, I mean, again, it's a possibility. As Scott was saying, he's kept it simple, or as simple as it can be. It is another reasonable option if you did have to change it. I mean, we have the same view that we don't think it needs change. But if there is a change going to happen, that one is probably I'd be a wee bit more aligned to accept that one than the other ones.
We're now getting creative, Scott. Would you add something, I don't know what, for the bottom eight to keep it interesting, you know, whether that's a playoff against, you know, a team in the top half for a spot in Europe or something, I don't know. But would you need something, another playoff or something, to keep the bottom eight?
I think you would need to do something like that, but I think the top six, I mean, you know, even if somebody was, let's say, 6 points in front into their last 10 games, there's no gimmies, because you're playing Celtic Rangers, all the big teams are playing each other twice, four times at each, you know, at their own stadiums, if you like.
Scott, how are you doing your relegation there?
That's what I was going to say. Did you increase then?
Yeah, well,
maybe two down, two up.
No, I still think the playoffs are exciting.
And that's what I mean. So two plus a playoff or one plus two playoff spots, something like that.
Yeah, I would. I think there's got to be a relegation. I think that's
then you would have more than 40 games.
Exactly.
Aye, after that, but you do that anyway with the playoffs. If you know, what do you think on that point, Scott?
I think we've got playoffs anyway, so I don't think that makes a great difference. I think the teams at the bottom of the league would be happy enough to get more revenue with extra games coming into the season. They don't have a lot of games. And if you're at that bottom eight, you get that bit for the top, you get that wee bit of enticement for something, maybe a playoff into a European place. And then at the bottom as well, you're all playing the teams around about you, and you're playing them equal amount of games at each other's stadium. So, listen,
What about your desire? I think, Scott, I think you've come about as close to a thought out plan. What about your desire for change? Is the current system as broken as people believe, or how do you feel about it?
Well, you know, you hear people every year moaning about it's no fair and all that. But I mean, if you look at the Champions League, that's not entirely fair if you look at it, because teams might have an easier run in than some, you know. Sections. It is what it is. If a computer generates it, you just go with it. I'm more fussed about it, as I think it's exciting, it's decent. But I think it'd be better if you were playing after a split, the team run about you twice, home and away. I think that would be good.
The SWPL has that, you know, that's why they're, yeah. I mean, their title race is always so it's kind of tight before the split anyway, but then they go and play each other twice, yeah. And it becomes incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think like any change, obviously there's elements that may look good. There's one or two elements that maybe not so keen on. But as I mentioned earlier on, Gordon, if that's the preferred option of a change, if there has to be a change, I think that would be a reasonable one to consider. Yeah, they might need a wee tweak here and there about the relegation side of it, in terms of how you get promotion. Do you do two teams at the bottom, or two automatic, or playoffs, or these kind of things? There's a bit to consider on that, but I certainly think, as Scott said, it's keeping it simple and gives everyone an opportunity to still be competitive, but less games at the top level, and ultimately that's what they're looking for.
Blake is on the other line. How are you, Blake?
Oh, hello. How are you doing, guys?
Good here, thank you. What have you got then? Come on, throw your tuppence worth in.
Well, I've actually been trying to get on for the argument. Increased league since last year. I've seen the producer. I had a full list before, wrote down to come on and speak about it.
This is your moment to shine.
A lot of the points have already been made, but I think the minimum of a 16-team league is definitely worth going for. The 2x8 split, but I think it could turn into a playoff. You could have a playoff at Hampden, that kind of thing, increase revenue. I think the point deficit between Celtic and Rangers at the end would be much closer. The teams get a chance of catching them. It looks better at the end of the season. The three bottom teams, two straight down, the third bottom has the playoff. Also increased chance of derbies, like you know, like Ayr and Kilmarnock, that kind of thing. That increases TV cover chance, sponsorship money, all that kind of stuff. There's like loads to fight for an increased number of teams in the league.
Okay. Again, I think
desire for more teams.
Yeah, clearly.
I think this is what the supporters.
Well, we're nearly done. Still can't find the man who.
I don't think you'll find MD that wants to go back to a 10 team league.
No. That would be the other thing about that. Just, and I know it was a long time ago, but on a very basic level of, we've done that before, and we must have moved away from it for a reason.
Yeah.
Be strange, wouldn't it?
Well, because it does deny competition a little bit. You know what I mean? Again, all the years ago when I first started managing, I was manager of Falkirtan. You know, it was only one up, one down. You know, no playoffs. So, I mean, the year that I was there, Dunfermline won and Falkirtan were second, but you get nothing. You know, and you do all season. Whereas now you've got the, should we say, the top, the other three teams, you know, have got a chance of promotion. We heard, I think it was Robert or Alan earlier on, the Thistle fan saying, you know, how kind of devastating it was a little bit, of course, getting beat by Ross County in the penalties. But his team are in there fighting right until the death. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a chance. You can't deny chances for teams to progress. And I think that the 10-team team definitely does that. Or 10-team league, definitely does that.
Yeah, I mean, Blake, that's just a non-starter for you then. You want, I'm interested, you said minimum 16. Surely Scotland couldn't cope with bigger than 16, could it?
Well, the reason for that, I'm a huge advocate of the Scottish game. I don't like all the talk about teams moving to the Premiership, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it needs to be settled at home first. You know, we need to try and restructure the league here, invest in the football we've got here, because I really do think we've got something in Scotland, something special that we need to utilise. So I think if we increase the number to 16 teams, the money gets spread down the lower leagues and gives like seeing Inverness and stuff like that going to bankruptcy and having to get pushed down, it's not pleasant. So you want the money being pushed through the Scottish leagues, helping the teams get back up again.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's a few different then things you could add or do differently, as well as just the number of teams in the league. It feels like, Gordon, we'll never get complete consensus on this, but it appears there's a desire for change.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that desire is to go bigger. So if that's the case, and people are saying we've got 12 just now, some people saying 16, it does feel like the next obvious bit would be to split the difference and go 14. So that previous...
But I think that's the best we've heard tonight, the 14. If I had the choice, I want to stay like Jim. I want to stay where we are. I think we've got a good product.
Right, so your team stay.
All day long. I think it's good. I think it's exciting.
I nearly said remain, but that could open up a whole.
No, exactly.
Our
team stay as well. But I just think that Gordon was mentioned there. If it was a choice to change, it might be for. But we haven't had a call run from a Celtic fan, or a Rangers fan, who is predominantly
Blake's a Celtic fan.
The bigger audience in terms of you know what they want for their team. You know how they see it.
Blake,
you know,
you're a Celtic fan, aren't you?
So I think Blake's away, is it? So I just think
sorry, you're a Celtic fan, Blake?
Hello?
Are you a Celtic fan?
That's correct, yes.
Ah, sorry, I was just checking. The
reason I was asking that is because, you know, you normally, as I said, there's a bit of self-interest for fans to say, no, this prefer, our club would prefer it this way, or this would suit our club better. Again, I can understand any of the kind of lower level, you know, the bottom half, as we stand at the moment, in the top half of the Championship. And as I mentioned, also the amount of derbies you could have, because Scotland is, you know, that bigger country, so there's a lot of competitive derbies.
That's what is fascinating about this, because on a lot of issues, fans will just align themselves to their club sort of thing. And I think if it is the big clubs, people keep saying it, if it is the big clubs that are driving this, I'm still not convinced. Blake's only one example, but don't know, are there a lot of Celtic or Rangers fans out there that want 10 teams? I don't think so. Doesn't look like it. But anyway, thank you, Blake, from East Kilbride. He's been waiting his moment and delivered. That was another good suggestion. Just a quick one before we go. I want to welcome Wire, who are our new sponsors of the Super Scoreboard podcast. Wire are a car purchasing platform that sell electric vehicles, and you can go electric today with affordable options through their salary boost scheme, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. But if not, check out trywire.com for more information.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dale told me during the break that's my favourite line that I deliver every night. Just clearly because it means it's closer to him getting up the road. See? He's in a privileged position. He's got a great job, one of the best in the world. He think he would enjoy it and want to be here for as long as possible, but he says he gets a wee kick when I say we're into the final part.
It's the home straight
of tonight's Clyde One Super
Scoreboard. I know every advert on this programme, the time, everything.
A man who takes his employment very seriously, clearly. 01419511025. Still time. We're getting there, but still time to squeeze a call in if you're that way inclined. And we've got a good teaser tonight as well. Doable but challenging. One of these ones I think you could fire into your group chat or pass on in the work staff room or whatever it is tomorrow. Can you name the top six top flight goal scorers this century who have not played for the Old Firm? Adam Rooney, Michael Higden, Liam Boyce so far.
I'm going to throw in Martin Boyle.
No, he's still in the 50s. He needs 61 to get on this list.
I've got two in this. I think they played in the same team at the same time, but I'm not sure whether they finished or not. Kane Hemmings.
No, so he did really well in that one season, Kane Hemmings, but no, he's not got 60 plus top flight goals.
Billy Mackay?
Yes.
Oh, I had him down.
83 for him.
I honestly did. I'm telling you right now. What does that say?
What's that?
Can't read your handwriting, sorry.
No idea. Mackay.
Hieroglyphics you wrote there.
Mm-hmm. Right, still time to get your calls in. We'll round off that teaser. Thanks again to Jack and Kilbarkin. The address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. Now, league reconstruction came along this afternoon and became clearly a hot topic for you. Another one this morning that I thought was quite interesting is the SPFL will now allow Scotland's representatives in European competitions to postpone league games ahead of UEFA playoff ties. We hear that regularly on this show. At various stages of European competition, this Dutch team we are playing, this Turkish team we are playing, they've got a free weekend. Why do our governing bodies not do more to help? Now, they're clearly trying to. It is only for the playoffs. So, you know, if you're in that last game before you get to the Champions League group stage or Europa League or Conference League, it's for that one. So the option is there, basically. That's the news today. So it would be match day 3 of next season. That's when it would line up. So it's not like any time you want or whatever, but the third game of next season you can if you want. I think previously, you know, it was an application, board approval, consent of the opposition team. But you know, this, there's a move now. The SPFL say they're keen to support clubs in qualifying for league phase of UEFA competitions. Like I say, it's them all. It's not just the Champions League, it's whatever stage you would be at. So what do you think?
I'm for it. I really am. Because it would then come down to the fact if a club decided to take it. Because I think you touched on it early. Momentum. Sometimes you want to keep the games coming along. But if you've got maybe one or two injuries or any problems, I think that the club should have the right, and I think it's right that we are trying to help our clubs in the European scene, 100%. But I go back to it, some clubs may go for it, and some clubs may think, no, I'm going to keep the momentum going throughout the season.
What do you think, Jim? Because I feel like it has been packaged as if it's like, you know, a definite advantage, and people say you would much rather have it. Is there a chance? Because especially when it comes, right? So if you're not in the, let's take Rangers specifically, because it could be quite a busy summer, right? Because of new ownership,
new manager, might need a lot of new players,
new manager. You're in Europe, so you don't go into the group stages of the League Cup. Yeah. You might just want that. You might want that game. You might want to play again to get your formation sorted and whatever. I think in the past, you know, Rangers have maybe, I think from memory, they've played teams who have had the free week. Mm-hmm. Rangers have won anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's not a guarantee, but it's nice to have it, surely, the option.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good that, you know, the governing bodies have now decided to have that option for the clubs. I think the biggest thing is Gordon, is Europe is so lucrative. So that's the reason why I like the fact it's the playoff, and not once you're, if you're getting to the group stages, I understand the fixture congestion after that. But to get there is so lucrative for Scottish mm-hmm. clubs. From every perspective, you know, from the footballing perspective, from the profile, from the financial perspective. So I think it's a really good option for them. I would be surprised if they played, because as I mentioned, because it is a look at them, you want to make sure you get into that group stage. So if you've got a chance to get there, why would you risk your best players in the match before it? Mm. I get it. You know, the bread and butter people can say the league at the end of the season, mm-hmm. but it's so early in the season. I would be surprised if someone played, even if they thought they maybe needed a little bit of game time, just because you wouldn't want to risk any of your players when you've got an opportunity to qualify for the group stages of European competition.
I think Kilmarnock wanted it mm-hmm. this season and didn't get it. They were eliminated. So there's that side of it. But like we've said, you know, Rangers as an example, I feel like, well, Rangers fans can tell us, I feel like they sometimes are better when they're going that Thursday, Sunday, you know, routine and trying to keep the momentum. So but at least it's a step to give the option.
I think it's a difficult one if you're the manager and you're looking at it. Jim's right. The one thing is there's a lot of money to be made in our European campaign. You don't want to be risking your best players, but you might just be at that stage where that extra game you feel needs that bit of sharpness. Yeah. You know, and you might take the chance. I think it will be a split with managers and football clubs. Yeah. I think some managers look at it and say, this is a great help. I would rather have the time to prepare. I'd rather protect my players. And I think other managers would look and say, no, I want to give me momentum. I want to give me a game. I want to give me a bit more sharpness. But at least if it's out there to help the clubs, it's an option for them, Jim. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's your gut think most teams would take up the option?
I think most teams, yeah, I think because what Jim's saying there, because of the financial side of it to protect your players, I think they would take the option up, yeah.
And then again, Jim, similar logic to the league reconstruction thing, there's no perfect solution because you don't get to the playoff round if you don't win the previous round. Yeah. So then teams would say, you know what I mean? Can we get that off?
Can we get that as well? Yeah,
it is already a busy fixture list. It's not as easy as people think to just postpone games all over the place. Because even now, you know, I've heard this before. I think maybe a couple of weeks ago, but was it Fenerbahce? Mm. And I think maybe one caller came on and said,
they cancelled the game before.
Right.
That's right.
But so should Scotland do that for Rangers? Now Rangers went through fine. So do you now need to do it again for Bilbao twice? Yeah. And then what if Rangers go through again? Yeah. You do it twice. Yeah. It's not sustainable. I know it sounds good on an individual basis.
And in an ideal world, you want your clubs getting the best preparations possible for these type of games. But I think Celtic have done their pre-season different this year. Brendan Rodgers alluded to that, you know, in the early season, playing the type of games he did in America, you know, like he played the top teams in England. And he said he actually used it as a kind of guide, you know, to how he would maybe line up in the Champions League. So, you know, again, teams have got to look at that. And I think that we've fallen short once or twice, especially with teams in the Europa League or, you know, the Conference League competitions at that time. I think that we have the other nation. Is it Conference League now, whatever the mm-hmm. European competition is? And I think we have to prepare a little bit better. But this does give the clubs now an opportunity to give the players you know, a breather and have all their top players available for which.
If you were management, Jim, would you take the option up?
I think so.
Your experience, you've got.
I think so, Gordon. I think you know if you're playing a match in the following week, but you've got a European competition, you've got a chance to play your top players.
Yeah,
you've got to do it.
We're nearly there. We're looking for the top six top flight goal scorers this century who have not played for Celtic or Rangers: Adam Rooney, Billy Mackay, Michael Higden, Liam Boyce.
I'm struggling here.
I've got Sam Cosgrove.
Nope. You've not got the top of the list. Yeah. 95. Yeah. He's got Motherwell.
Molt.
Nope. Motherwell, St Mirren, Hearts. He's got a famous footballing brother, but he's the best looking one, the one that we're looking for.
The best.
He's got a famous football brother.
Oh yes, his brother. Fine, I'll grudgingly admit his brother might be a bit more famous than him, but this one's the best one.
Yeah, because he played for Motherwell. I was going to say Scott McDonald. No, he's not got a brother. He played for Celtic anyway.
James McFadden.
Oh, who's James McFadden's brother?
I don't know. I don't even know if he had a brother.
John Sutton. And the last one you're looking for, one of the old rhyming slang favourites, Colin Nish.
Alright, I never got that.
Thank you to all of you for taking part tonight. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Have a good one.